The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access. Your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is sponsored by Verizon, Miller Lite, and United Airlines.
Good evening, hello, and welcome to another edition of Bears All Access. They had a Jim Miller-like practice at Halas Hall today. Zach Zaidman, along with the former Bears quarterback Jim Miller, as well as 85 Bear Tom Thayer. What I mean by a Jim Miller practice, and he can expand on this, is the fact that they stretched. You know, they went through the regular stretching exercises up at Halas, the final day of mini camp, final practice of the offseason. Then what is customary is all the players get together with the coaching staff at midfield. They huddle up before they break off into their individual groups. Well, during that huddle, John Fox announced, "Thank you. You guys have worked very hard this offseason. Be safe. Go home. I'll see you in 41 days when you have to report to Bourbonnais. Practice over."
Hey, I was suckered in hook, line, and sinker because I got there at 10:30. And then they said they weren't on the field till 11:30, and I sat there watching them go through their whole stretching routine. And then they break up into segments, and they do some offense and defensive corrections from what they've gone through in the meetings. And that, when John Fox brought them all together, I was getting ready for a little inspired practice, because last year I got fooled on the last day of training camp when I expected the most passive practice. That was the most aggressive practice, and I thought he was going to pull the same thing today, but when I heard it erupt into cheers amongst the fellas, I knew something good had happened.
And Jim, this is now something that's become popular around the NFL, canceling that final day of minicamp.
Yeah, Bill Cowher used to always do it to us. In La Trobe, or the last day of minicamp we did, we went out there and stretched. And Tom Thayer loved these kind of days, because then he could go in, you shut it down, and you just take the shower pill. You don't even got to hop in the shower. You just hop in your car and go home. And you ended on a right note. But obviously, John Fox rewarding the players. He must be happy about the work that they put in this offseason, because that's normally, these type of things are normally rewarded to the players because they've earned it. And so probably a lot of positive positives have come out of the OTAs and the mini camps that John Fox feels comfortable rewarding these players that they've taken another step forward.
You know, Jim, I'm glad you brought that up, because yesterday in watching practice and being able to rewatch it, I kind of saw the best practice that I saw out of the Bears, both offensively and defensively. Individually, I saw some guys doing things really well. It was nice to see Kevin White making some big catches of an immediate response, catches at the line of scrimmage, or catches that had some detail to his route and that over the middle. You know, so to finish it on a positive note and to make sure that you leave that field feeling confident and getting ready for training camp, I do think it was after the best practice they had.
It was a busy week for the Bears, not just because of mini camp, but it was the first appearance on the grass of Alshon Jeffrey this offseason. And Tom, you've been screaming for this guy to report. He finally did it. Granted, it was mandatory, but he was out there. What did you learn in the 2 days that you saw him practice?
You know, I remember I was sitting up, I was in there watching. I see the offense break the huddle, and you got Alshon Jeffrey out to the right. You got Kevin White out to the left. You got Zach Miller in there. You got Jeremy Langford in the backfield. And now the defense has to have a whole different way they spread out their talent. They got to make sure they focus on Alshon Jeffrey and what is his going to route. What are going to be the details to his route? And you still got Zach Miller. This is a big play guy, and he can run away from linebackers and other, you know, personnel trying to cover him. And even he's bigger than the safeties. And then you see the quickness of Kevin White, either at the line of scrimmage or in the open field. It kind of gave you a glimpse of what this offense is capable of when the personnel is on the field. Eddie Royal out there too. Like I said, Jeremy Langford, the running lanes look bigger, and the defensive backs look more threatened.
Jim, something that I think we've talked a lot during the offseason about is the fact that the Bears, even though they have a new play caller in Dowell Loggins as opposed to Adam Gase, who goes to Miami, the offense is quote-unquote the same heading into year two. But is it really the same? I know the language is the same, so the terminology isn't different, but there are a lot of new faces that are being incorporated into the mix. Kevin White.
Yeah.
Eddie Royal is healthy. Bunch of changes on the offensive line. Three new running backs. Bears looking for a capable fullback. They're looking for consistency behind Zach Miller at the tight end position. So Is it the same offense?
Well, well, you bring up good points. A different play caller. He's going to, you know, just play callers call things differently in certain situations. And obviously, Dowell's going to have his ideas that maybe vary or their variances from what maybe, you know, Adam Gase and how he's going to call a game in certain situations. So I think that's something to monitor. I know Dowell's called plays in Tennessee, but I haven't, you know, studied him enough to see, you know, we're going to get a good perspective probably for all the listeners out there who are listening. Watch the first four games of the Bears and, you know, kind of chart and get a good idea of what Dowell Logans does as a play caller, because you'll get the tendencies of what he wants to do. But I know Jay has talked about it, the backbone of the offense is the same. Yeah, we know John Fox. They want to run the ball, all those type of things, play action. Yeah, that still is going to be a foundation. But you bring up a good point, Zach. And right now, Dowell Logans is, you know, evaluating these players. You know, talking to his tight ends coach, talking to the receivers coach. What can these players can and cannot do? They're getting the first look at Kevin White. Oh, he does this better than what we even thought he did at West Virginia. So they're getting good insight on him and what Tom thinks that Tom just talked about. You know, a player like Tony Moiaki that's just signed, I think they have an idea of what he can do, but need to see him out on the field to what he specifically can and cannot do. Same could be said for the running backs. Has Jeremy Langford, has he made improvement in certain areas? Hey, we now feel we can call these plays with Jeremy Langford because he's that much further along in the backfield. So all these things, all this information is being gained by Dowell Logans that he has to file it in the mental Rolodex of what he can do to attack defenses when game plans actually start to get installed. So valuable information, but ultimately the offense will stay the same. But it's just getting to know the personnel and what they can and cannot do of the new faces that you mentioned that are there.
You know, Jim, yesterday Marquise Wilson goes down. He has another foot issue. So now you look at guys like Josh Bellamy, Deontay Thompson, you look at Cameron Meredith. How do you identify that receiver that really has to fill that void? Because I know they've never got great profit out of Marquise Wilson, but you're talking about a 6'4 receiver. How does Dowell Logans, Jay Cutler, Brian Hoyer, the rest of these guys go out there, Curtis Johnson, the receivers coach, right?
Correct.
How do you go out there and identify this guy who's going to take his reps?
Yeah, that's a great question, Tom, because, you know, all those guys had their opportunities last year. At certain points, they got their feet wet in the season. And again, Dowell Logans and Jay Cutler, they're going to have a good idea when they go into their meetings. Say they're at the quarterback meetings, and Jay's going to say, you want to know what? Meredith has just really improved in this area of, say, his route running, or Bellamy, or knowledge within the offense. They're further. They've grown. And Jay's gaining more confidence in them, and Dowell Logans is gaining more confidence in these players as well. If they're out there doing, you know, like we all expect, the growth to get better the second year in the system, and things that they're doing better within the system, and all those things are discussed. I remember when, you know, just being in Chicago with at that point was a young Marty Booker, a young Dez White, a young David Terrell, because, you know, guys like Bobby Engram and them had just moved on, and we moved on for, and the Bears moved on from Curtis Conway. And just remembering from year one to year two, just how Marty Booker just exploded. I mean, the growth of what he did. And I remember having those conversations and with Shoup to say, man, what Marty is doing right now and what we can do with him, and just all, you know, he became like a chess piece that we knew now we could move all over the field. And how we could attack teams, and then lo and behold, you know, Marty, when I was there, you know, that 1 year he goes to the Pro Bowl, 100 and whatever it was, I think 107 receptions he had that year, just because he had grown so much as a player. And I think Dowell, you know, those same type of things are happening right now with the current group of players that are on the roster, and if they can emerge to do those type of things.
You know, it's funny, you'll hear Jim refer to the offensive coordinator as Dowell Logans. We call him Dowell Logans. Kyle Long was asked about him and said, hey, we don't know what to call him, so we just call him Dowell. One guy who definitely has an idea of how to pronounce the offensive coordinator's name correctly is our guest here on Bears All Access, and that is Bears quarterback Brian Hoyer, who has some familiarity with Logans from his days in Cleveland. So, Brian, how do you say it?
I usually just call him Dow, but from what I can understand, it's Logans, like Kenny Logans. So, I think he has a little bit of different spelling.
All right, before
you, don't want to compare him. You don't want to compare him to Kenny Loggins. Try that again, Brian.
Well, before we get to the football stuff, for those that don't know, Brian grew up in Cleveland. He wasn't just a former Browns quarterback. He grew up in Cleveland, had a decorated high school career as both a baseball pitcher as well as a star quarterback. His high school has a who's who list of graduates that have gone on to play at a high level in the NFL, including his quarterback's coach, Dave Ragone. But, Brian, before we get to that, being that you are from Cleveland, why are you not at game six tonight between the Cavs and Warriors?
To be honest, I thought about it, but I didn't want to be there if they lost. I mean, that would be just so typical Cleveland to win in Golden State to come back, and I really didn't want to have to do that. So obviously, you know what, being an athlete, I think I appreciate sitting on a couch and just watching a game and not having any distractions. So I'm looking forward to watching it. I really feel good about it, but like I said, I didn't want to be the reason, you know, in some twisted way in the Cleveland curse. You know, if I went to the game, they would lose. I wouldn't want to have to blame that on myself.
Hey, Brian, you come to the Chicago Bears, and now you've been around the roster throughout OTAs and minicamp. And you got Robbie Gould, yourself, and Jay Cutler are the over 30 crew in terms of specialty guys. Then you got Eddie Royal, Zach Miller, Jarrell Freeman, and Willie Young are the 30-year-old guys. Does this seem like a young football team to you? You got great experience, and the experience is your greatest asset. But when you're around this team, does it seem young to you?
Yeah, definitely. I didn't know that. That's the first that I've heard that. But I can definitely tell there's a young vibe. There's a lot of energy. There's a lot of competition. There's guys competing for roster spots, for position spots. I mean, you can just see that out on the practice field. And that's what's great about OTAs and minicamp is it's a learning experience, and people are out there, you know, trying to prove what they are learning and how they can execute. And definitely a positive energy out there. And I think that comes from having that of a younger team.
Well, Brian, Jim here. It was good to talk to you a few weeks ago and you know, connect again. But, you know, just where you're at in your NFL career, I mean, you have learned a lot of football, a lot of different places, whether it's Pittsburgh, Arizona, time in Cleveland, time in New England, and then, of course, what you did last year for the Houston Texans. And just, is it old hat now getting reacquainted with a system that Dowell is running and maybe that you're familiar with?
Yeah, I think, you know, when I was going through the process of, you know, I guess my late free agency, I was always in communication with Dow because I knew that if I was going to go somewhere to be a backup, I wanted to go somewhere where I was comfortable knowing the system and I knew the coach. And, you know, you guys already touched on Dave Ragone being my quarterback coach. I mean, his last high school game was the first game I ever saw of our high school. And you mentioned how prestigious our high school is. I walked into Canton Foster Stadium where they played them for the Hall of Fame game, and there's, you know, 25,000 people for a high school game. I was like, man, this is what I want to do. So I credited Dave with that a little bit, kind of getting me into, you know, that type of mentality. And then, you know, obviously knowing Dow and being with him in Cleveland, I really enjoyed, you know, my time with him there. So to get a chance to reconnect with him, and now he's in that coordinator role, so it's a little bit of a different, I guess, setup. So to see him in that role has really been fun.
He's loud. We're talking with Brian Hoyer. I'll tell you, the thing that stands out about Dow Loggins compared to, say, the previous guy that was here, Adam Gase, is you hear Dow Loggins on the practice field. He's feisty.
Yeah, and see, for me, that's new because when he was the quarterback coach, you know, Kyle Shanahan was a coordinator. That was Kyle's job. So it's been fun to see me, you know, see him kind of blossom into that role and be the guy who's in charge and kind of you know, leading the guys out there as far as from the coaching staff. So it's been fun, and I'm really excited, you know, to be here. And it's a great group of guys, not only on the team, but especially in the quarterback room. You know, you mentioned Dow, Dave Ragone, obviously Jay and myself and David. So it's been a great transition, and really, you know, the OTAs and mini camps really fly by.
You know, Brian, you're working with a lot of young guys, and you're also trying to learn a difficult system yourself. Kind of a two questions. How long does it take you to know what you're saying and how everybody's included? And then if you have a play where Jeremy Langford goes and he runs his route and cuts to the inside rather than the outside, do you feel comfortable in having conversations with Kevin Wyatt or Jeremy Langford about the way you see how they fit into the offense through the eyes of a quarterback?
I think for me, it's first of all, I need to be on the same page as Jay because he's a starting quarterback, and it has to be through his eyes. So, you know, being in those meetings, I make sure I understand what he's seeing and how he sees it. And then, you know, I'm not getting a lot of reps with the Kevin White and Jeremy Langford, but with those other guys who are, you know, in that rotation when I'm in there, you know, I definitely, you know, I've played a lot of football. I know, you know, what works and what doesn't. And there's a lot of similarities to what I ran in Cleveland and what I ran in Houston in this offense. It's kind of, you know, combining those two, if you will. And so I've had experience running the system and seen it. And, you know, but for me, I never want to contradict anything that Jay says.
You know, it's interesting because you have played so long now, and you've served both capacities, starter, mm-hmm. backup, and understand and have a great understanding for each position, you know, as a one and yeah. a two, and what's expected of you. And maybe explain that to the listeners, Brian, to be that sounding board for a starting quarterback when you're a backup quarterback.
You know, for me, I came in as a backup to Tom Brady, obviously. So not only was that a learning process for me, but it's also, you know, you realize you have to prepare to play at a moment's notice without really getting the same preparation. And I think what I'll benefit now around is I've played. I don't need as much physical preparation. I've played in games. I've ran plays, you know, a bunch of times. So it's not like you're going to have that nervousness going into the game. I think, you know, then being in the starter role, for me, what I looked at my backups to do, whether it was in Cleveland or in Houston, was to be an extra set of eyes out there on game day. Hey, did you see, you know, did the safety go to cover two or did he stay in quarters? Did he rotate down or did he, you know, just kind of hang in there and he's reading my eyes? Those types of things. And then also during the week, you know, I would usually have, you know, for instance, like in Houston last year, Tom Savage, who was a quarterback that got put on IR, he would watch some of the extra games from me because you can only, I mean, as the season gets longer and longer, there's more and more film to watch. So you're kind of trying to whittle it down and have them, you know, take some of it and maybe make a cut up of exotic blitzes or you know, certain coverages. And, you know, so if that's something that Jay wants me to do, it's something that, you know, I've done before and haven't been a starter, I really appreciate too.
Visiting with Bears quarterback Brian Hoyer here on Bears All Access. When you were a starter, did you like to hear from the reserve quarterback? And how often did you want to hear what he had to say? And what's Jay like in regards to that stuff?
Yeah, I think for me, it was, like I said, when you're playing out there, you can only see so much. So when you come over, you know, for me, I would ask, hey, on this play, was it this coverage or was it this blitz? And then, you know, have those guys just kind of confirm or, you know, say, no, I kind of saw it this way. And then you look at the picture. So, you know, for Jay and I, it's, you know, we've been in practice. We haven't been in the game scenario yet. But I think being in those meetings and listening to him talk, you know, I'm getting a good feel for, you know, how he sees things, how he's going about his business with this offense. So I just try to relate to that and then, you know, be the best guy out there I can be to help everybody.
You know, Brian, with all your experiences and the different offenses and different terminology, when I went to another team, even though they're calling a play as a Miami Dolphin, you kind of think of what did that represent in the Chicago Bears offense? Do you have to completely clean the slate when you come to Chicago Bears, or do you have a Rolodex of memory of offenses that is constantly going through your brain in relation to what you're trying to do in this offense?
Yeah, it's kind of funny for me, I think, because I spent so much time in the New England system and then the same thing in Houston. I always kind of relate it back to that. I mean, if you asked me to call a play from when I was in Cleveland with North Turner, I probably wouldn't be able to. You know, I remember playing the plays, but I don't really remember the terminology. It was such a quick turnaround. And then, you know, now being with Dow, it's a combination of what I did in New England and Houston and Cleveland. So some of the words are different, but I think for me, I always try to relate it back to what I first learned when I came in the league and then make a mental note of it. And then you learn it, like, you know, if one play is called pout on one team and it's called shout on another, you kind of just relate to those and then you put them in your head and then boom, it's almost like once you go out and execute and do the play at practice, it kind of burns itself into your brain as the way, now this is how I know this play.
Well, quick little scouting report, because you played with a pretty damn good receiver last year in DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, yeah. That guy is unbelievable. And certainly Bears fans know what Alshon Jeffrey can do, but just what you've seen from Kevin White and where his talents are, maybe a little scouting report breakdown on what you've witnessed from Kevin White.
Yeah, I think for me, you know, obviously I knew, you know, he missed last season, so I was kind of interested and excited to see what he was going to do in this offseason. I mean, man, when you talk about talent. I mean, the guy is just a freak. He's big, he's strong, he's fast. He catches with his hands. I mean, there's no body catching with him. He's got really strong hands, and he's essentially a rookie. You know what I mean? So he's learning as everybody else is. It's kind of a new system. He's learning and he's made strides. And I think as the whole team has the entire offseason, he's gotten better as the time went on. And that's really what you want to see. So, you know, it was good to have Alshon back out there. I got to see him practice a little bit. So to have those two guys opposite each other, I mean, that's two big physical fast receivers opposite each other. I mean, you know, when you talk about DeAndre Hopkins, the one problem that we ran into in Houston was they would just double team him because we really didn't have, you know, we kind of had a revolving door on the other side with injuries. So when we got to the end of the season, they were playing cover one and just putting the safety over top. So, you know, hopefully Kevin keeps progressing and you can avoid that and teams can't just put their, you know, all their chips on Alshon.
Well, imagine the number two cornerback on another team having to deal with the size-speed combination of Kevin White. It's exciting to think of what may happen when the regular season rolls around. 41 days to go before you guys have to report to Bourbonnais and training camp. Before we let you go, Brian, so you were a star pitcher in high school. Why'd you choose football?
Well, going back to kind of what I told you, my first game, you know, as a fan for St. Ignatius, it was a state semifinal game. Dave Ragone was a quarterback. They're playing Cam McKinley. There's 25,000 people. And I just thought, wow, I mean, football was just so much more exciting. I mean, I enjoyed baseball and I liked the pitch, but it just was so mellow for me. And I liked the excitement of the crowd, the pace of the game. And, you know, I can't complain with the choice I made, but there's times where I definitely miss it, especially, you know, you start watching the baseball playoffs. I mean, there's times where I definitely miss it, but, the excitement and the passion I had for football was just too hard to overcome.
And you're not the only one. I mean, any kid in Ohio that loves football wants to play it at a high level. And I believe your high school, St. Ignatius, has won more high school championships than any school in the state, right?
Yeah, I think it's 12 state championships really since 1988 when our head coach took over. So, I mean, it's pretty, you know, well regarded and you know, like I said, when I got a hold of that atmosphere and kind of saw what it could bring. I mean, it was basically a small college like atmosphere in high school, and you know, you just want to play for that, and then you get the opportunity to play for that team, and you know, scholarships offers come, and kind of just sets everything up.
I hear it's the only high school parking lot where the cars have out of state license plates on it because you guys you guys recruit so heavily.
We don't get them from that far away. Maybe from about 30 miles away, but never out of state. Right.
And Brian, as we say goodbye, who was the better Michigan State quarterback, you or the other guy doing this interview, Jim Miller?
I was a trendsetter. I got to set the table for Brian.
He kind of got started for the Michigan State quarterbacks. It's kind of been, you know, rolling ever since. I mean, you look at Drew Stanton, myself, Kirk, you know, Connor Cook. I mean, it's just going to keep going, I think. You know, I've known Jim since I was there, obviously, and you know, have a lot of respect for him. He helped, you know, help me meet my agent. It's just been great. It's been a great relationship. So to have a guy who played the position at your alma mater, I mean, it's kind of like a kinship for life.
Good stuff. Hey, Brian, thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of the offseason.
All right, thanks for having
me. Thank you, Brian.
Good
Brian
talking,
Hoyer,
Brian.
The Bears quarterback, spending some time with us here on Bears All Access. We've got to take a timeout. When we come back, we will react to what we just heard from the Bears' number two quarterback, Brian Hoyer. Zach Sadman, alongside Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, a unique TV show hosted by Anthony Adams and Lauren Screeden and brought to you by Jimmy John's. Inside the Bears airs every weekend on My50 and Fox 32 Chicago, or visit chicagobears.com/insidethebears to check out show segments anytime. And I'm told this week on Inside the Bears, check out a good time for a great cause with the annual Bears Care Gala. Eddie Goldman shares one of the secrets to his success. Spice and Lauren see if they have what it takes to keep the beat with the Chicago Bears drumline. Inside the Bears, brought to you by Jimmy John's, airs Saturdays at 6 p.m. on My50 Chicago and Sunday at 10:35 p.m. on Fox 32 Chicago. So here's what I get out of listening to Brian Hoyer. When Jay Cutler comes back after every series during a game and sits down on the bench, there is a trusted guy who has been there and done that, that can relate to what Cutler is doing out on the field. And those extra set of eyes are huge, Tom.
Right, but my question to Jim is, you know, Jim, is that does a quarterback always want to hear something coming off the field? Because I think, like I said, Brian's greatest asset is his experience, so he could probably answer any question. But is it sometimes the quarter? Do you just want to come off the field, digest the last series in your own head, and then if you have a question, bring it up to another set of eyes? Or, you know, how do you like to be approached as soon as you come off the field?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I think that's something you have to learn as a quarterback, that, you know, maybe some guys just want to be left alone. You know, I kind of knew certain games, like when I was backing up Tom Brady, all right, these were his mannerisms. You know, he's when he's irritable or just, you know, how he reacts. And, you know, if he has a question, he's going to come over and ask you, hey, Jim, what are you seeing on that? You know, or you know, what did you witness out there? Like Brian said, an extra set of eyes. But you do have to understand and learn the player's mannerisms, you know, really kind of what their rituals are, because every player has habits of what they do, and you kind of get to learn those mannerisms of when to approach a guy, when to stay away, you know, because sometimes you want to be left alone. You're sorting it out in your own head of what you believe needs to be done, whether it's the next series or next half or next quarter, or things that you're focusing on as a quarterback, and you're internalizing certain things. And then if you feel like, hey, I need to get some confirmation on this, and then maybe ask the questions that you need asked. And, you know, I'm so proud of Brian, because, you know, he was just a kid at Michigan State when I met him, and now he's married, has a family, and everything that he's accomplished. He is a solid guy and a solid signing, in my opinion, for the Chicago Bears, for everything that he's experienced. He's a perfect guy for Jay Cutler to have as his backup.
You know, it was interesting. Tom didn't like this during the break. Jim was elbowing me. He goes, you got to mention that Brian Hoyer, junior year, Michigan State, 4 touchdowns at Notre Dame Stadium to beat the Irish.
That's right, man. He's had some big games. He's had some big games as a pro as well. So, again, well, because it's important to him. You know, he cares a lot about football. He's very competitive. I don't think he, you know, feels that, you know, his I'm sure he feels, I don't want to speak for him, but that his best football is ahead of him. But he's got his feet wet, and I'm sure he's itching to have that opportunity. And I know he's excited to be in Chicago. As I talked to him a couple years ago, it's really a good spot for him.
You know, Jim, another quarterback question for you, because I asked Brian Hoyer, how long does it take you to start understanding the information that's coming out of your mouth, because you're trying to memorize it at the same time of learning what it all means? And then did you have a chance to talk to some of the younger players that you're involved with to make sure that they're doing the things right or what you expect them? And then he came back and said, well, it's always through Jay's eyes, and then I try to just build upon the way Jay sees it. Is that standard for quarterbacks, where it's always the starter, it's how he sees it, and then it's a trickle-down effect from there?
Yeah, I do, and I think it does stem from the offensive coordinator, because when he's calling a play, he's envisioning certain things to unfold, i.e. the coverage he's expecting and how he wants it read versus that specific coverage, or maybe the coverage changes and then it's got to be read a different way. And I've always said this, it doesn't matter what offense that you're in and you're calling a play, it should be like a blueprint. Like, imagine a blueprint that is written up by an architect on a house. That's how a play should be pictured. As soon as you hear it called in your ear, it just needs to pull up like a picture. A blueprint of the play, and you already know where your reads are and where everybody's going, and you can see how everything is laid out on that plan of that play call, and that's where you need to get to as a quarterback. And it doesn't matter what offense that you're in. As soon as you hear that play, boom, there's that blueprint right there, and how every level of it has got to be read a certain way versus coverage or checking or an audible. All those fine print notes that are in that blueprint needs to be registering as well.
Zach Zaidman alongside Tom Thayer and Jim Miller here on Bears All Access. What do you think this Bears, what's the best way to describe what the Bears offense is going to be? You know how you have certain offenses that are known as West Coast offenses.
Right.
You know, what's Dowell Loggins's imprint offense?
Yeah, I think he is going to carry on. Well, one, it's to me, it's going to be game plan specific. And why I say that, because I go back to Adam Gase again under Josh McDaniels in Denver. That became a game plan specific offense, right? And sometimes they had to totally transition, right? Transition to Tebow. That offense totally changed, right? So you have to be able to adapt. And again, so if a player's down to injury, you know, let's say, God forbid, Kevin White is injured a couple of games this year, and you got to be able to adapt and morph and see who's going to emerge as the next playmaker. And sometimes guys emerge that way, where they just, like Zach Miller, there's a key point. Remember how he started to get fed the football once he started to make plays by Adam Gase. So I think that's what Dow Loggins, like Kenny Loggins. I don't know if that's a pre-game ritual music that Brian Hoyer listens to, but I think that's what Dow envisions and what they want it to be. Granted, it's John Fox, so one, he wants to run the football. And there will be their plethora of runs, and he will force feed that issue even if they don't even gain a yard. That's not something that they are going to abandon. That's always been a staple in John Fox and how he wants plays called under his teams. But I do think it'll be game plan specific, much like that's where Adam Gase got it, was from Josh McDaniels. That's how New England always did it. And think of Ron Earhart. I always bring up his name because he's a legendary coach. Guys like him, Bruce Arians, Tom Moore, those guys were like peas in a pod that kind of started all that in the NFL, and it still trickles down and has had an impact today on younger coaches, and I think that's the direction they want it to continue to go.
We've mentioned Zach Miller's name an awful lot, Tom. What changes now that the entire NFL has a body of work to look at from Zach Miller last year? Because no one was coming into the season preparing for Zach Miller. Now you have to.
Well, I'm not comparing the two, but I'm saying you look at a guy like Gronkowski, and everybody knows the nightmare matchups that he can be because of his size and his strength to catch the ball. Zach Miller is also kind of a nightmare matchup because safeties are undersized to stay with him or to cover him because of Zach's a bigger guy. And I don't know so much if linebackers can cover him in space because he is a creative route runner and he does have that, you know, deceptible speed that you have to be aware of.
I think what's interesting is the Bears offense will only be as good as the other side of the ball, as the Bears defense, and we will discuss that
right,
next.
Right, and I want to build up on that also.
Tom Thayer's here, so's Jim Miller. I'm Zach Sabin. You can join us at 312-644-6767. Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The official tablet app of the Chicago Bears, Bears Daily, powered by Xfinity, is now available for free download. Search Bears Daily for the latest team news, videos, photos, and more. 85 Bear, Tom Thayer is here. So is former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. I'm Zach Sabin here on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We've been talking a lot about the Bears offense, and rightfully so because there are so many changes. But defensively, I mean, the Bears are playing complementary football. And to me, it's the improvement of the defense that will significantly impact the Bears offense. Tom, what I mean by that is if they can get off the field, you get more three and outs because they're designed to do that a little bit better this year, take the ball away more. They didn't do that a lot last year. You shorten the field with the Bears' weapons, the explosive firepower that they have in White, Jeffrey, and Miller. They can do some things, but if you have to go 80 yards down the field like they did last year, that's tough to score.
Well, the defense, first of all, the front seven or eight better complement the back of the defense, because I don't think you have a defensive backfield here that can live to take away turnovers without the threat of pressure up front. So that's going to be kind of a twofold element in the success of the defense.
312-644-6767 is the phone number here on Bears All Access. Ferris is in Evanston, and Ferris, you're on Bears All Access.
Hi, I'm going to bring up Dow Loggins one more time because I know you guys have been talking to him about him a lot. And you know, when he first got promoted, he said that he's not going to change the offense, and everyone's been talking about that. That's just bringing back flashbacks for me from when Mel Tucker said he came in and he said he wasn't going to change the defense at all. How do you guys compare just, you know, talking to Dow Loggins, and does that remind you of Mel Tucker?
Not really, because, you know, Mel Tucker was playing defense with inferior talent. And no matter what style of defense, if he made changes or not, the likelihood of him being successful with the talent they had was not very high. I think with Dowell being here and keeping the terminology consistent, that's the key here. Because every offensive coordinator, and Jim, you know this better than anybody, you're going to be able to add your own wrinkles in terms of what you believe in as an offensive football mind. However, when you can keep the terminology the same, it expedites the learning curve of the young guys, the older guys who are hearing it for a couple years in a row. And I think you can add more to the offense because the consistency in the language. Jim, how do you feel about that?
No, I agree. Well, it's a heck of a lot more to ask, you know, basically the 50, say if you go to a training camp, you got 90 guys on the roster. Let's just break it up. 45 on offense, 45 on defense to make it even. It's easier to ask one guy to learn a system than 45 guys to relearn something new. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And Dowell's already been there anyway, so he knows how plays are called, the terminology that they use. So, you know, granted, he's been exposed to different systems, but it just makes more sense, and it's more, you know, it's streamlined a lot more in what they're trying to do. So I think they're going to hit the ground running. I mean, if anything, they're further ahead this year than what they were a year ago when they were being introduced to all these materials by Adam Gase and Dowell and the rest of the guys that were on the coaching staff. So, you know, they're not going backward. They're going forward. You know, again, I think the things to look for this year is the tendencies of Dowell Logans. How do they differentiate in how plays are called during a game? Because, like, I've been on teams that are third and short. You know, a guy like Bruce Arians, that guy will go deep. He'll call a bomb on third and one. You know, so those are the type of tendencies I think Bears fans need to get to know about Dowell and how he's going to call a game.
Jim, something I want you to think about during the break. First game, Texans, opening game of the regular season. Are you worried about stopping J.J. Watt or how you're going to get the ball downfield? We'll hear it after the break.
X's and O's from Jim Miller next on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Get the latest updates and messages from your Chicago Bears all year long by signing up at chicagobears.com/emails. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, Jim Miller with you here on Bears All Access. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Brett is in Glendale Heights, and Brett, you're on Bears All Access.
Hi, guys. How are you doing tonight?
Good, Brett.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say, I really feel like this is a year where Cutler's going to have to be the engine in this offense more than usual. I think Jeremy Langford, he's a good player. I have high hopes for him. I think he's a little unproven still based on as a starting running back. Kevin White, I think he's still a rookie. High hopes for him. I think he'll be a great player. I just don't know if he'll be a great player right away, sort of like an Alshon Jeffrey learning rookie year type of situation. But I think for this team to have the level of success necessary, Jay's going to have to really step up his game, perhaps in a way he's never done before. And I just don't know if I have the confidence in him based after last season. I mean, that offense didn't score in the third quarter until the 12th game of the season, and Cutler had a near-career low in passing touchdowns. I just wanted your thoughts on that.
I'll take this one. I somewhat disagree because I think he went through that last year when you look at Jay Cutler. What do I mean by that? He was forced into situations to really coach guys up. It's not like the Bears when they had the injuries at wide receiver. Granted, Kevin White goes down, Alshon's hampered, and it's not like the Bears were out there signing marquee wide receivers.
Eddie Royal got hurt. Remember, Martellus Bennett ended the year on IR. Matt Forte missed a few games. He was banged up.
Right. Yeah, it's not like the Bears went out there and signed, you know, say a free agent wide receiver who's got a pedigree. You know what I mean? That's my point. So he was already working with guys like Tom brought up Josh Bellamy and Cameron Meredith. All these guys, Jay's bringing along, and he's the veteran guy, and he's having to coach these guys up. And you know, at some point, it's on you, the quarterback, because otherwise, you're going to get your manhood driven into the dirt if your guys don't know what the hell they're doing out there. So that's your responsibility as a quarterback. And I think Jay went through that last year. I really did. If anything, he's ahead of the game. I think they're still young skill position-wise. Alshon Jeffrey's played a lot of football, but a lot of unknowns about Kevin White. Granted, there's a ton of potential there, but, I mean, Jay understands all that. And I really think he went through that last year where it was more of a grind, and not that it's going to be easier on him this year because he's still surrounded by some young players, but I think he's more than equipped, and he proved that last year.
You know, too, is they lose their center early in the season. They go through three centers. They go through four or five offensive guards. They move Kyle Long, the right tackle, a week before the season starts. Jermon Bushrod goes out. They move Charles Leno Jr. to left tackle, and they know nothing about him, really, how he's going to react from one game to the next. So there is so much turmoil standing in front of Jay besides the receiver position, the running back position, and all the other contribution of injuries. I believe that he was one of the guys that held it together.
Mike is on the south side. Mike, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. You know, honestly, I completely disagree with that caller. One of the things that I was very impressed with Jay Cutler with last year was that he was able to actually step up and stay in the pocket. That actually kept him healthy and kept him upright, because Jay's escape route was usually, you know, outside trying to get to the sideline and trying to maybe get the ball downfield. He actually stayed patient, stayed in the pocket, was able to have great pocket presence last year and deliver the ball. And I just saw tremendous growth in him last year. He's, you know, able to stay healthy as a result. And I see good things for him now that he's got some better talent, you know, and Kevin White coming back, and hopefully he can develop. But I see the Bears, you know, moving in a very positive direction, and I'm very pleased.
You know, I agree with you, too. You know, Jim, I was throwing this question out before because it has to do with, you know, Jay here and Jay playing better. When you look at the first regular season game and you have a J.J. Watt on the line of scrimmage, but you have weapons like Alshon Jeffrey and Kevin White and Eddie Royal and Zach Miller and the running back position and such, where does your thinking at this point go to? Is it what is your offense going to do, or how are you going to make sure that your quarterback is protected?
Yeah, well, obviously, you know, just game planning now, granted, a lot can happen. Guys get hurt in training camp and all those type of things for Houston as well. But, yeah, you're going to have to identify where is J.J. Watt lining up. I know everybody assumes, hey, that's a 3-4 defense, it's Romeo Crennel, but they have lined up J.J. Watt as a 1 technique, a 3 technique, a 5 technique. They've moved him all over that defensive line. So I think that's going to be a part of it. Identify where J.J. Watt is, and that could result in different plays getting called in a check with me manner at the line of scrimmage. What do I mean by that? So let's say if he lines up as a 1 technique, and for the listeners out there, it's a shade of the offensive center, or say if he lines up as a 3 technique, which is the shade to the outside shoulder of the offensive guard, say the right guard. You know, a check with me package may have one or two different running plays. You know, I was always taught, like at least from Ron Earhart, and I go back, we played the Buffalo Bills on Monday night, and Ron always went after a team's best defensive lineman. What do I mean by that? He'd sprint draw him, he'd trap him, he'd wham him. These are all different run plays and things that you can do to defensive linemen to disrupt them. You know, he'd lead draw him, you know, so now he's got a fullback coming in and just blowing up his jaw. Those type of things. And by the end of the first quarter, I mean, Ron had Bruce Smith, who was a hell of a defensive lineman. We ran right at Bruce Smith. I mean, that guy's head was on a swivel. He didn't know what was coming next. You know, so those are things, you know, and then there are other philosophies. Well, you run away from their best player. And you know, Ron proved it to me over and over again in my 2 years with Ron Earhart. He would absolutely destroy some of the best defensive linemen in the game with that type of a strategy and going right at a guy. Granted, there are other great players. Whitney Mercilus has stepped up, in my opinion. I think they've got a decent linebacking core. I don't think their safeties are all that great. I would think that right now that would be in the game plan as well. But first and foremost, you have to identify where J.J. Watt is lining up. Is he a 1? Is he a 3? Is he in a 5? Sometimes they put him in a 7. So that's going to be a big part of the package, I would think, of Dowell going into that game, knowing where that player is, and then everybody on the offensive line can adjust from that, is what I would think.
Finish at Soldier Field when you participate in the PNC Chicago Bears 5K taking place Saturday, June 25th. Get more information and register today at chicagobears.com/5K. I've got a lot of questions about some of the things that happened. For example, today, Tony Moiaki from in the Western Burbs has signed with the Bears. He's a tight end who has had success in the NFL with both Kansas City and Atlanta. He joins the mix. And Malik Jackson's brother, Marquise, has joined the team as well after a tryout over the last few days. So some changes that the Bears are making on the roster. What does that mean? We'll discuss next with Tom Thayer and Jim Miller here on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Zach Zaidman alongside Tom Thayer and Jim Miller here on Bears All Access. We'll be back next Wednesday here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. A special edition of Bears All Access at 6 p.m. here on The Score. So tune in and we'll take you all the way up until training camp, which begins 41 days from today. Bears have to report down to Bourbonnais. All right, so let's talk about some of these moves that the Bears made today. They added Tony Moiaki, a veteran tight end in the NFL. And, you know, they need help at the tight end position after Zach Miller, Tom.
Right. I mean, you cannot have enough competition. And I think that's one of the encouraging signs to Brian Hoyer when we were talking to him earlier, is the youth on this roster, and it is so competitive. So to bring in another guy and push Zach Miller and all the other tight ends there for playing time to get recognized, and a guy that does have some NFL experience, you know, you just try to catch lightning in a bottle and get a career year for some of these guys like Zach Miller had last year. And competition at every position is good, and I think that's one of the unique things here is John Fox, Ryan Pace, and the whole organization. They let these guys come in and compete and try to rise to the top.
And they bring in Marquise Jackson, Malik's brother, decorated defensive lineman with the Super Bowl champion Broncos. Now he got a big free agent contract in Jacksonville. And speaking of those championship Broncos, so yesterday on the field, Ryan Pace delivered a Super Bowl ring to Halas Hall and handed it to Danny Trevathan, opened it up. I'm telling you, Tom, I've seen your ring from 85. The ring that Danny Trevathan has looks like it's quadruple the size. They've really expanded with the diamonds and the gold.
Hey, you know, I know, you know, Jim, he has one. He's been around other Super Bowl rings that you see him nowadays. They look like hubcaps, and I don't know if it's necessarily you're going to wear it out socializing.
He was wearing it at Halas Hall.
Well, you know, you got to wear it. You got to show it off. You got to be proud of it. But it's not a part of your everyday wardrobe.
And it's, well, being a, you know, that's a special Super Bowl 50 now. So, you know, probably they went bigger and better like normally happens. So you mentioned, Tom, they got the bigger bling, and it's like a big rim on a car nowadays. These things got some bling to them. But he earned it, man. And, hey, orange goes with that. Denver Bronco orange can go with the
Super Bowl
Bears
rings
blue,
go
right?
with any color.
Good point, Tom.
But
good point.
This one was blue and orange and gold and a lot of diamonds. There was a lot of action going on with that thing. He said he wore it, Trevathan did, because this is why you play the game, and he wanted to remind his teammates. I think they got the message.
Amen.
For Tom Thayer and Jim Miller, I'm Zach Zaidman. Thanks for listening to Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is sponsored by Comcast, PNC, and FanDuel.